In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations compiled by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever, is a valuable resource when wanting to know what Mormon leaders have said on a given topic. Pick up your copy at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There was a talk that was given in General Conference in April of 2019. It was given by Elder Matthias Held, who holds the position of a 70 in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A 70 would be in the third level in the Mormon hierarchy of authority. But in the May 2019 edition of Ensign, which is where the transcripts of all the conference messages are eventually put and then disseminated in this May issue of Ensign, there's an article based on his talk titled Seeking Knowledge by the Spirit. Seeking Knowledge by the Spirit.
What's he emphasizing in that, do you think, Bill?
I would say he's probably going to emphasize the Spirit. And in the subtitle, Eric, that gets to me as well. He says, we should learn to discern the truth not only through our rational minds, but also through the very still and small voice of the Spirit. Now, here's where I have a problem with where he is going to go in this talk that he gave in General Conference in April of 2019. Whenever you tend to show a Latter-day Saint truth based on evidence, and it conflicts with what the Mormon wants to believe, how many times have we seen the Mormon say, but the Spirit told me otherwise, even though the facts tend to discount what they are accusing, and I'm using that word purposefully, what they are accusing the Holy Spirit of telling them. What is a shameful sin on the part of many Latter-day Saints is attributing to the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as they would call him in the King James type of wording. They blame him for the error that they want to believe. The problem, of course, folks, is the New Testament tells us that the Holy Spirit is only going to lead believers in truth. In truth. So if a Latter-day Saint claims the Holy Spirit told him to believe something that conflicts with the truth, I think we have every right to politely and kindly explain to them that this could not possibly be the Holy Spirit telling you this if it conflicts with what is true. And of course, what is truth? That which conforms to reality.
If we want to take what the Bible says about what we're supposed to do when it comes to seeking out truth, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 to test everything. 1 John 4:1 says to test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And I'm going to say that the very first sentence of his talk that is given on page 31, this is what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has repeatedly told us to seek learning even by study, and also by faith. Now, he's citing from Doctrine and Covenants, section 109, verse 7. And this is what it says. It says, and as all have not faith, seek ye diligently, and teach one another words of wisdom. Yea, seek out of the best books words of wisdom. Seek learning even by studying, and also by faith. Now, I read that verse, I see what he has done, and I see what DNC 109 says. It certainly seems to say that we're supposed to get it out of the best books, words of wisdom. Wouldn't the Bible be a good place to get information to determine if something is true? Not by our feelings, not by what we call the Spirit, and just getting a good impression.
You would think so, but again, within the context of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Bible is often touted as a book that's not to be trusted in all cases. Mormons have been led to believe that it has been corrupted over the years, and even though we may have a good translation, it's a good translation at best of a faulty transmission. And this is why I believe so many ex-Mormons, when they realize that Joseph Smith was not a prophet of God, that the church is not the true church, and that their gospel is not a true gospel, end up leaving it, never really looking to the Bible for answers to their perplexing questions that they have at that time, but rejecting the Bible. And what do? They go off into agnosticism or atheism. The church, as we've said many times on this show, primes the pump for ex-Mormons to go off into agnosticism or atheism.
His talk continues on page 31, and he gives a story. My dear wife Irene and I joined the church 31 years ago when we were newly married. We had both grown up in Colombia, but a few months after our marriage, my career took us to live in Germany. We were very young and had great hopes and expectations. It was an especially exciting and happy time for us. While I was concentrating on my career, Irene was feeling that we would receive some kind of message from heaven without knowing how or when. So she started letting into our home all kinds of door-to-door salespeople with encyclopedias, vacuum cleaners, cookbooks, kitchen appliances, and so on, always waiting for that unique message. Now, Bill, here, this woman is getting this impression that somehow God wants to speak to them. And apparently, later on, he talks about being baptized as an infant. I'm guessing they came up through a Catholic home, and that's what Columbia would be, is pretty much Catholic. And so they're not happy, apparently, with the religion they have. And so they're looking for something that will help guide them into truth, which is always dangerous when you don't know what you're looking for, when the Bible is right there. That certainly is the place that we would recommend people would read and be able to see what it has to say and follow what it has to say, but they're just looking for circumstances. It's kind of like taking a Bible and opening it up and putting your finger in there and trying to figure out God's will. By having all these people come to her door, she has to wonder which one is telling the truth, if there's any kind of religious message.
Can I interrupt you, Eric? It doesn't say here that she was asking these people spiritual questions, though.
No.
Do you think she was?
I don't know. She just felt like she had a premonition that somehow that she was going to have somebody come to the door. And guess what? Two missionaries do. And in fact, this is what he reports. He says, how could we know if what the missionaries were telling us about the Book of Mormon, about Joseph Smith, and about the plan of salvation was actually all true? Well, we had understood from the words of the Lord that we could, quote unquote, know them by their fruits. So in a very systematic manner, we started examining the church by looking for those fruits with the eyes of our very rational minds. And so this is the part where he says, I'm going to take my rationale. I got to take the spirit. But obviously, God must have brought these missionaries to the home to be able to teach us what is true. And so we're going to take God at his word when he says that we're supposed to test by their fruits. And what he's going to do with his wife is come up with six different ways that he felt that what the missionaries were saying were true.
Well, bullet point number one, he says that they saw friendly and happy people and wonderful families who understood that we are meant to feel joy in this life and not just suffering and misery. Now, when I read that, I'm thinking, I kind of fall into that category. I tend to be friendly and I'm a happy person. I have a wonderful family. I understand what is meant to feel joy in this life and not just suffering and misery. So if they had been looking at my life, would what I believe and practice, would that have affected them in a way to come towards where I am spiritually?
Now, how are you supposed to know this initially? Because the missionaries are going to come across as friendly people and nice people. And if they go to the local ward, are they going to know people right away? Everybody's going to look like they're happy and all together, and they have joy in this life.
You raise an excellent point, because in Mormonism, we know by talking to people who have come out of the system and now can look from the outside in, they often talk about how you cannot really be real in a Mormon context, especially at the ward. You have to basically look like this to show that everything is okay. You can't look troubled. You can't be perplexed. You can't have doubts. You can't have questions. When you do have doubts, what are you told to do? Doubt your doubts.
Right.
Don't doubt your faith. And so it would make perfect sense that that's what they saw in the missionaries. And if they visited a local ward, that that's what they would see in the people. I'm not doubting that.
Bill, I had a recent experience with a woman who left Mormonism and became a Christian, and her life has fallen apart this past year. She lost her husband. She's had terrible health issues. And so she wrote me on Facebook, on Messenger, and said, wait a minute, maybe I should think about going back to Mormonism because during my time as a Mormon, I didn't seem to have all these problems. Why isn't God rewarding me for coming to the truth? Well, I had to explain to her that there are people called Job, that we do have Paul, who in 2 Corinthians talked about having a thorn in his flesh that he prayed for three times. And what did Paul get told in 2 Corinthians 12:9? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. In the red letter edition of the Bible, it's going to be red. Paul was told clearly that, you know what? You're not going to have necessarily a super happy life. There might be really hard things that happen in your life, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't exist when you're having the bad things happening. And it doesn't mean that you're in the wrong faith just because those things do take place. The Bible says in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, that there are going to be rough times. But just because maybe you are a Christian, or even a Latter-day Saint, and things are going well, doesn't mean that that religion is true. There are many people who are very happy in their atheism or in their Islamic ways or whatever religion it is. Just because you're happy and content doesn't provide a truth claim to that religion.
And what troubles me about that first bullet point is, are they telling us that in the church that they probably belonged to at that time, and again, we don't know, we only have hints, that they never saw anybody that was friendly or happy, that had wonderful families, understood that we are meant to feel joy in this life and not just suffering and misery? You mean they never met anybody like that? See, this makes me question what they're saying here. It's almost like they're embellishing the behavior of what they experience with these newfound friends in the Mormon people, as if they're the only ones that they've ever seen that look like this. And you're absolutely right. I wouldn't say that Mormonism is true just because some of their people are friendly and happy, any more than I would say it was false if they weren't happy.
Right.
And they weren't friendly, because I don't judge a religion based on the behavior of its adherents, unless, of course, the behavior is based in that religion's scripture, and that's how they're supposed to behave. That would raise some flags, certainly.
This is going to be difficult, Bill, because we go to